The theme of the readings of this first Sunday of Advent, in addition to that of watchfulness and expectation, is one of longing for our Lord. The reading chosen from the book of the prophet Isaiah suggests that when our Lord is not present to us, then we suffer all kinds of misfortune. There seems to be the implication that our very sinfulness is a follow-up on our Lord's abandonment of us. There is none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. So on the one hand, when we turn from our Lord, this of course is sin. But our Lord can, so to speak, turn from us, deliver us into our guilt. And so he can, as it were, let us have our way. When our Lord lets us have our way, that's another way of saying that our Lord turns his face from us, lets us have our way in opposition to his, I mean. When we insist upon our own way at the expense of the will of God, from time to time he will try to call us back to our senses. But at a certain point, our Lord will leave us to pursue our own will. When it is that we pursue our own will, we go from bad to worse. This is the Lord delivering us up to our own designs. We never go from good to better when our Lord turns his face from us, when he abandons us to ourselves. He abandons us to ourselves when we refuse to turn to him, to listen to him, to do what we know that he wants us to do. Then he, as it were, turns his face from us. So sin provokes this, but it calls down further sin, so to speak. All sin is willfulness on our part, let's be clear. But if the grace of the Lord does not sustain us, then in our fallen state, we find ourselves all too easily giving in to temptation, or choosing to do so, again I reiterate, and going from bad to worse. This is what happens when our Lord turns his face from us. But God is not like man. When you or I are wronged by someone, we tend to be resentful. We tend to hold grudges. We tend to be very slow to forgive. If someone has hurt us, then we are afraid to return to that person for fear of being hurt again, for fear that this person who has hurt us is not actually sorry, does not repent of what we perceive as the wrong that this person has done against us. We are very slow to offer forgiveness, to forgive and forget, as Jesus in the gospel commands us. But God is not like this. If God seemingly abandons us to our own designs, it is in that way also that he wishes to call us to our senses and realize that only he can rescue us from our own misery. So see, there's a purpose whereby God seemingly abandons us to our own designs. Also in this, it is so that in one way or another, sooner or later, we can come to recognize that it's only by turning to our Lord. Some of us perhaps have had the experience in our own lives of this. Know that at a certain point, when we were far from our Lord, things went from bad to worse. God biding his time, waiting for his grace, waiting for us to wake up, to stand at attention, and realize that the grace of God was there all along. It's kind of sometimes happens like a light bulb suddenly comes on in our intellect, realizing that all along that God has been waiting, biding his time, waiting for me to stand up and be vigilant. This is the way that God works. We come to the realization that we are powerless of our own accord to be reconciled to God. And this is the lesson of the entire Old Testament. The Israelites were supposed to recognize their own powerlessness to effect their own salvation. This was the problem of those who prided themselves upon the fulfillment of the Old Law, the Mosaic Law. Well, the Old Law by itself saves no one. The Old Law was but a preparation for the new covenant inaugurated by the Son of God. That really saves. Whoever understood this, whoever was convicted by the Old Law, whoever yearned for the fulfillment of the Old Law in the New Law, whoever pined for the coming of the so-called Messiah, whoever recognized, in short, their ineptness before our Lord and called upon him to come to their aid, these were the ones disposed to discern the presence of God and what? To be rescued from their sins. In that sense, it's a little different for you and for me. So our Lord's watchword to be vigilant is a call to discern his presence. Our Lord is present to us not because we simply recognize this or fail to do so, but because he chooses to be present. His presence doesn't depend upon our acknowledging it or not. Now, by our choosing, we can allow the grace of God, his grace, his presence, to make a difference in our lives. If we choose, then his presence, his action in our hearts can be the foundation whereby we are permitted to see his face, as the psalm says. If the Lord seemingly hides his face, seemingly turns, is it because we have hidden our face? We have turned. And our Lord respects that, you see. He says, you want to hide your face from me? Okay, I will hide. But what shall you do? And sooner or later, we have to come to the realization, perhaps it's after we've gone from bad to worse, that it's only when we acknowledge the presence of the Lord that we shall be saved. So this is the message as we enter into Advent, with the theme also that sooner or later, whether we want to or not, our Lord will become present to us, but not necessarily in the way that we would prefer. At a certain stage, namely the end of our lives, will come the point when our Lord will be present to us and we present into the Lord, not necessarily in the way that we wish, and we will be present to ourselves. Because in this life, fleeing from the Lord is attendant with a fleeing from ourselves. Namely, that there are certain things about ourselves that we would rather not acknowledge. Certain actions that we perform that we know, our consciences tell us, are not correct. That voice of which we suppress. But that voice will be able to be suppressed only for so long, you see. But if we convict ourselves, if we turn our face, if we decide to, so to speak, recognize ourselves, recognize our Lord in our midst, and humble ourselves, realizing that only with the help of our Lord, can we be saved? Can we be rescued from ourselves? Then we begin the process in the here and now that will inevitably take place for everyone, sooner or later. If we permit that process to be here and now, the process of salvation begins in the here and now. Otherwise, it may never begin. And this is why that call for vigilance is so urgent. That call to recognize that our Lord is not far from us at all, to discern the signs. Discern the signs, discern the still small voice, the quiet presence of our Lord, that presence brought to us by the one designated as his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Advent is a season of preparation. We are in a position to worthily celebrate Christmas, the first coming of our Lord, when we prepare our hearts to receive his presence, to acknowledge it, to adore him. But if we make no preparations, if we acknowledge that we ourselves are unworthy, if we don't dispose ourselves to let the grace of the Lord do that work in our hearts, then we will not be prepared, neither for the commemoration of the first coming or the eventual second coming of our Lord. In a certain way, each day ought to be a preparation for a little Christmas that ought to happen in our hearts, a little Christmas whereby we are prepared to adore the Lord in his presence and let his light shine in our hearts so that we shall be saved, so that we shall be rescued from the deplorable condition of being delivered up to our own designs. Let us pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary that this season of Advent then will be a true season of preparation for us, a true recognition of our Lord's presence, a true disposing of ourselves to heed the words of the Lord, to be watchful so that we will be joyful at his definitive coming. Praise be Jesus and Mary.